Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're always delighted to have you on board as we face the issues. We're looking forward to a lively discussion today. We'll be talking about fake Christianity. Fake Christianity. What is fake? It means it's a mold. It looks like the real thing. Sometimes talks like and acts like the real thing. But it's a fake. So if we know that's what a fake is, what do we mean when we say fake Christianity? Are you saved today? Are you a Christian? Do you know that you are? Does it show in your life and lifestyle? How can someone tell if you're a Christian? We're going to be talking about that today. It's a very serious subject because our cultural, moral, ethical values have plummeted in recent years, and as a nation, the focus as to the cause of this declension, oftentimes we put it on the political element. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe the actual fundamental cause is the falling away, the apostasy in the local New Testament church in our nation today. So we'll be talking about that today, fake Christianity. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. And as we look at the biblical text in relationship to fake Christianity, and we have to ask the question that begs to be asked, demands to be answered. If we look at that which is fake, how do we tell fake from the real? Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32, as he spoke to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus identifies truth. He says, "I am truth." And that same John chapter 14, verse 6, in that same Bible book. And then in John 17:17, Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the word of God, ladies and gentlemen. I call it the truth book. That's what we need to look at. It's the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I commend that book to you. It's called the Bible. You've heard me say before, and I recall back many, many, many years ago, less than 100 years ago, in Sunday school, we'd sing that old song, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the truth book. But ladies and gentlemen, we're in a society today that I believe we're seeing more and more each and every day where society literally hates the truth. It was George Orwell that wrote the dystopian novel entitled 1984. I believe that was written in 1947-48. George Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's exactly what we see taking place in our society today. But listen very carefully. It was the former senator, Jim DeMint. Jim DeMint made the statement, and the title of the article of his, DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Let me just read you a little excerpt from that statement by former Senator Jim DeMint. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in the American churches. That should cause one to sit up and take notice, especially when linked to the title today, the subject, fake Christianity. Multitudes today, I believe, truly believe that they're saved. But they're not. And it's evident in their walk and their talk, their action, their activities, and their course of action and their lifestyle. shows that they're not truly saved. So are they deceived or being deceived? Are they the deceivers or are they deceived themselves? We'll talk about some of those issues today on this broadcast. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. It goes back to the centrality of truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made the statement, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, tell the truth, love the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death." And I believe there's coming a day that we're going to have to defend the truth as perhaps never before. I have Pastor Glenn Davis with me today. And Pastor Davis and I, before the show, were talking about some of the things we see happening in the world today. And it seems to be on the fast track. It is a decline on steroids. It is a decline today that's as though on a jumbo 777, throttle full steam ahead, with no landing gear in mind. I believe that we're watching the dismantling of our society today. And as one writer said, it is Christianity rotting at the very core, rotting at the core. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the American flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag and that flagpole at the intersection of I-295. At the base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Pastor, I'm thankful that you could be with us. It's always a blessing to have you.
Amen. Amen.
Always enjoy our dialogue and discussion. I pray that our listeners do.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. It's always a joy and a pleasure, you know, to be here with you on the broadcast each day, ministering to the body of Christ. Amen. I think we are, trying to make every effort to reach, you know, every soul.
Yes.
To let them know how important it is, to really, have a personal one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing.
That is so vital today. More than I believe the average person would think. Most people today will make sure they've got a will. They'll make sure that they've got the estate planning. They'll make sure that they've got it understood on what happens with their boat, the motor, the airplane, the helicopter when they die.
Amen.
Who gets it? But very, very few people want to make that kind of planning for eternity. And the planning for eternity needs to make sure, an individual needs to make sure that they are saved. I call it blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again.
Amen.
Need to make sure that it's right with God, and not just something that's fake, not just something that's being lived out in an absolute phony fashion. In fact, I say today there are a lot of folks that are claiming to be Christians, multitudes of them that claim to be Christians. They're actual practical atheists. They talk about Christianity on Sunday. They talk about having a Bible, but they never read it. They talk about praying, but they never do it. They talk about loving the Lord, but they never indicate it. I call it practical atheism. In fact, in 2 Timothy 3:5, Paul identified this: we're having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
Amen. Amen.
And I see that happening today, Pastor.
Amen.
More than in my lifetime.
Amen.
I'm saddened to say, but it is real, that we have so much today that is phony, fake, and, I used to say years and years ago, we stopped having real cream, we started having cream to go in the coffee, we started using the instant cream.
Amen.
Everybody wants something that's instant, something that is a phony, a shell of the real thing. And as a result of that, I believe we've gotten down to the point, and I understand it's the apostasy, it's the falling away that the Scripture talks about shall take place in the last days.
Amen.
But it comes down to what one writer called fake Christianity.
Amen.
Pastor, I'm going to read several blurbs from this three-page article that sets the stage for what I want us to talk about today. The title of this article is "Shock: Americans Ditch Biblical Worldview for Fake Christianity." It's dated July 4th of this year. This article reads, American Christianity has fallen thanks to cultural corrosion and a lack of biblical literacy. A new fake Christianity has raked the dry ground of the American church. This counterfeit religion is moralistic, therapeutic deism, a worldview that has quickly gained prominence and given many Americans a theology that looks nothing like historical Christianity. Despite what they may claim, George Barner, director of the research at the Arizona Christian University, said MTD, a watered-down, feel-good, fake Christianity, is the most popular worldview in the United States today, according to Christianity Daily. A recent poll conducted by ACU found that 38% of adults hold this worldview. That is a fake Christianity, watered-down, feel-good worldview.
Amen.
What's more, this article says, 3 out of 4 people who hold MTD still consider themselves Christians. The fact that a greater percentage of people who call themselves Christians draw from MTD that from the Bible says a lot about the state of the Christian church in America in all of its manifestations, according to George Barner. Simply and objectively stated, Christianity, Barner says, Christianity in this nation is rotting from the inside out.
Amen. Amen.
Then he further explains for those that may be listening and thinking, what is MTD? When I first reviewed the article, I thought that myself. MTD goes on to say, MTD is essentially what I would call fake Christianity, because it has some Christian element in it, but it's not really biblical. It's not really Christian at all.
Amen.
According to George Barner, the moralistic perspective is we're here to be good people. We're here to do good things. That's really what life is all about. It's that we want to be good, and we want someone to be good to me. It's all going to work out in the end. The therapeutic aspect is everything is supposed to be great and geared to making me feel good about myself, ultimately to make me happy, and that's what God wants for us, is to be happy.
Amen. Now that's
amen. That's the fake Christianity viewpoint, according to this writer. It goes further to say, basically, according to the MTD, this is a distant God who just wants everyone to be nice. He wants everyone to have a purpose. He wants everyone to have a happy life, end quote. Then this article reads further. American Christians who have adopted this philosophy have borrowed heavily from the modern secular world. Now, let me pause there, Pastor. Most do not understand today, even as Christians, that they are in the world. Because we're in the world, they are allowing the world to absorb into their lives a worldview that's not a biblical worldview.
Amen.
Without
Amen.
The realization and the recognition
Amen.
Of it.
Amen.
It says, American Christians have adopted this philosophy, have borrowed heavily from the modern secular world and worldview, which elevates personal definitions of right and wrong above any objective standards of truth like the Bible. According to a study conducted by Lifeway Research, a little more than half of Americans would describe the Bible as a good source of morals. Only 38% said it was a historical account, and 37% said it was helpful on some days, end quote.
Amen.
Further, the article says MTD, and this is where the water hits the wheel, this is where reality comes to focus, ladies and gentlemen. This writer says, it is a cake and ice cream theology for those who want to feel good about themselves without sacrificing cultural relevance. And I just made a little insert here, Pastor. For years and years and years, I've called it cotton candy theology. Cotton candy theology tastes good, but it's not filling. It's goosebump theology. It feels good, but it's not convicting. It is kitchen theology. It is where an individual comes up with his own philosophy, not based on the Bible. It is voodoo theology, which is the admixture of all of the above. But here's what this writer says. Why is MTD a problem, they ask? It's because it distorts the God of the Bible in an attempt to make him bless all and the disputations and vanities of the entire modern world,
my.
End quote. It makes God a big, great sugar daddy.
Amen.
My words, not this writer's. It puts God in the position of, well, you're just good. You might have a sodomite lifestyle, but you're good. You might have this lifestyle or that, but you're still good. I just love you. I'm just going to embrace you. I'm not going to do anything that will be called justice or judgment. In fact, perhaps the greatest words from the lost world and the fake Christian world is, you can't judge me. The Bible says, judge not lest you should be judged.
Amen.
And that is the word that is hurled at the average person today when you want to point out correction in the life of one that's gone awry.
Amen.
This article further says, and I conclude, I just wanted this to set the stage of our analysis today of what we're talking about, fake Christianity. It's one of those models that says, and there are a number of worldviews that say this, you got to live in the moment. This is all you got. You've got to make the most of it. You've got to do the best you can with it. You've got to live life to the fullest, end quote. It makes sense that Christians who embrace MTD are hesitant to criticize anything in culture. How can anyone pass judgment on everyone's, and everyone's just trying to be happy, is the mindset. The only sin is getting in the way of someone's personal truth.
My.
Getting in the way of someone's personal truth. Without a firm foundation in truth, increasing numbers of Christians are ill-prepared, this writer says, to fight the moral battles being waged in our country. That's why so many are siding with groups like Black Lives Matter and the LGBTQ movement. They'll listen to the loudest voice on either side of the fence, if you will.
Amen.
Followers of Christ have forgotten that Jesus Christ didn't come to tell people to be nice. His message has always been a stumbling block, and it's especially hard for the 21st century Americans to accept that. There's so many things, so much about your truth and my truth and others' truths, and always truth is in the crosshairs. In essence, Christians need to return to a competent state a biblical literacy. Here's the icing on the cake, Pastor. Churches must focus on shepherding their sheep instead of obsessing on numbers, and I call it numbers, nickels, and noses.
Amen. Amen.
And believers must take the initiative to read the Bible, to study the Bible, to know the Bible, and to apply the Bible in their daily lives, end quote. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I understand that there was a long dissertation on looking at parts of that article entitled Fake Christianity. That's what we're talking about today. So from your perspective, ladies and gentlemen, what do you see and what would you call fake Christianity? How would you identify? What would be the first 1, 2, 3 points that you would identify? I'd love to hear from you. Let me know 3 things that you would look at and say, that's a fake Christian. How can you recognize a fake Christian? How can you recognize a true Christian? How can you recognize the real from the fake? That's the thing that we need to discuss and understand today.
Amen.
The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, it is very, very clear, and when we understand that some of the latest research by Barna Research and by the Gallup Research and by Lifeway Research, we understand, and this is some solid research that's been done, that only 6%, hear me well, only 6% of American Christians hold a biblical worldview.
My.
Only 6%.
That's sad.
That's minuscule. That means 94%, Pastor, 94% of those that claim to be Christians are somehow, some way deceived, being deceived, or they're deceivers themselves. 94%. If only 6% have a biblical worldview, 94% do not. And that means they're deceived in some fashion. And then topping that off, out of the millennial age group, 18 to 35-year-old age group, only 4% have a biblical worldview. And out of that 4%, 57% of the 4% believe that it's all right to embrace the sodomite lifestyle. They believe that smoking pot is okay. They believe that lying is all right if needed, justified, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Out of the 4% that have a biblical worldview of the millennials, 57% indicate by their admission in the surveys that they're not truly Christian.
My.
That's,
you know,
the
Dr.
thing
Young
that's
Blood,
sad.
I tell you what, those are very sad numbers.
Yes, absolutely.
Right there. When it comes down to, I mean, if we think about the size of the body of Christ in the world in totality, And this stretches across all races of people.
Yes.
The church universal is bigger than that.
Yes.
But when we look at that 6% and all these other numbers that you just announced, that's a sad situation for us to come to realize that such a small number of people actually
have a biblical worldview.
Amen. Amen. Yes. It's so sad.
We see.
Now, when I went to, let's go back to your analogy at the beginning of the program, when you were talking about the coffee and the different things like that. And I thought about, as you were talking about the coffee, because I'm a coffee drinker, I like to sweeten my coffee with something that's called sugar in the raw.
That's right.
It's the pure sugar.
It's not fake.
Amen. 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 But then I thought about how many people like to use a sugar substitute.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We want you to know on today, Dr. Youngblood, as you just said, Christians, we need you to know there is no substitute for Christianity.
That's right. Amen.
You have to be real. When you read this word, you have to accept the word as at face value, because God gave us his word in written form and in living form, and both of them are a guarantee to us, Dr. Youngblood, that he doesn't fail and he doesn't intend to fail.
That's right.
He's a man of his word. He doesn't go back on his word.
Amen.
In fact, amen, Isaiah 55 says he watches over his word to perform it. Amen. So that lets me know that he intends to do exactly what he says.
Nothing more, nothing less.
Now, when you went to 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 4, it describes the character in those first few verses of a person that's unproductive in Christ.
That's right.
After they have read the word and have been taught by, amen, the authority figure in the church, which is the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like to put themselves over the pastor. You don't have authority over the pastor.
No, that's right.
And the deacons don't run the church.
Amen.
We have to know this. Amen.
That's right.
God has one authority figure in
that's
the church.
Under shepherd.
That is the pastor.
That's right.
So everybody else falls under his authority as he's being led by God.
Amen.
He leads the flock.
That's right.
So this is what's supposed to happen in the church. But when I looked at 2 Timothy 3, especially in verse number 5, Dr. Youngblood, I went to the New Living Translation, and it says that they will act religious, but they will reject the power that can make them godly.
That's right.
And the King James Version, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
Right. Amen.
So if they are coming and acting, they're putting on that great act like they are religious, but they're denying the power that God has to transform their lives to make them godly. Dr. Youngblood, they're not going to get too far.
I use the term, pastor, that you ought to come to preach unless I'm saved.
Amen. Amen. Because the Bible said that the blind can't lead the blind.
Right.
Both of them will fall in the ditch.
Right.
I don't need a blind person trying to lead me where I need to
Amen.
Go.
Amen. That's right.
You're Amen.
Trouble.
So let us make sure to know and understand, amen, that God put authority figures in the church for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
There is structure in the church. Even when I went, amen, to the book of Titus, amen, Paul continued to warn his young proteges how church structure should be set up. And he said, ordain qualified leaders.
Amen.
If you don't have qualified leaders in there that's going to look out for the church, then they're going to look out for their own desires.
And in that
and
Titus,
churches can
in that
end up
Titus,
in shipwreck.
In that Titus text also, pastor, it was because of the fake teachers that were about in that day.
Amen.
They're saying they need to be qualified and need to be able to confront, further says in Titus, need to be able to confront that which is evil and wicked and false.
Amen.
And that's
Amen.
What we need to have our listeners to understand today. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917, and I'd love to hear from you what your thoughts are, because, pastor, the scripture is very, very clear. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Jesus says in the chapter 5 text of Matthew, that we are to be salt and light.
Amen.
And he says that if the salt hath lost its savor, it has no value but to be cast out and trodden underfoot.
Amen.
That identifies where I believe where the church is today in America.
Amen. Amen.
We've lost our savor. And the reason for that, I believe, based on the authority of Scripture, is because so few today that are in the church are truly blood-bought. Bible says, born again. Goes back to the fundamental thought of what this writer has said, that it is fake Christianity. And again, he identifies fake Christianity very clearly in the article. It says it is the cake and ice cream theology for those who want to feel good about themselves without sacrificing cultural relevance. In fact, most everybody in society today, those in particular that say that they're saved, they want to be culturally inclusive. They want to be culturally embraced.
Amen.
They want to be culturally in the groove. They do not want to feel to be outcast. They listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about those that are fake Christians. If you indicate that you want to be embraced by everyone, you want society to love you, you want the world to love you, you feel that you need to bring the rock and roll music of the world into the church, you feel that you need to bring the dress attire and the cultural dress attire into the church, if you feel that somehow, some way, if you don't embrace all of that, that you are just simply not loving, you're simply not doing what a good Christian ought to do. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the cultural wokeness today that's permeated the church, destroying the life of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. And
that's a problem.
Make sure we make one thing clear. Christians need to know this and understand this. Dr. Youngblood, God brings you to the church to get the world out of you.
That's right.
And if you don't let him get the world out of you, he's going to get you out of the world.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So you need to know and understand the saddest words that any person can hear on the day of judgment is for him to say, depart from you. I never knew
you. Never knew you. Absolutely.
Your work was done in iniquity.
Right.
So we really need to get this thing together. This is a serious walk. And listen, if you don't take your walk with Christ serious, let me let you know this right off the bat. You're not going to get very far.
That's right.
Your life is going to end up in shipwreck.
And there's some that say that they're, and let me just paraphrase if I can. Recently, I heard a preacher and a message that was talking about salvation, people that are saved, and talking about multitudes of people today are saved and they just don't know it yet. Now, there's a problem with that statement. I've used the term for many, many years, if you can be saved and not know it, you can lose it, never miss it.
Amen.
We need to understand what salvation is. Salvation changes one's life, changes one's walk, changes one's talk, changes one's modus operandi, changes one's attitude. It changes everything about us. Old things have passed away and behold, all things become new.
Amen.
And if
Amen.
Somehow, some way, Pastor, there's the mindset that you need to embrace the world and you need to embrace the woke. I've never understood yet what the word woke means.
I don't understand that part of it. I really don't. Yeah,
there's a little philosophy today that, well, they're woke. It's woke philosophy. It's woke politically. It's woke culturally. So if you're going to use that term, the woke Christianity today has the mindset that God has placed us here to be happy. God's placed us here to be loving. God's placed us here to embrace everything. God's placed us here that we do not judge anything. God's placed us here as Christians that we need to just simply embrace the world, the world's habits, and the world's culture, and not be offensive to anybody. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me just tuck this in. Jesus said, if the world hated me, it's going to hate you also. Remember, if it hates you, it hated me first. I believe it's in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, where Jesus said, all that serve the Lord Jesus Christ are going to suffer persecution.
Amen.
And there are multitudes, Pastor, I believe today, that want to avoid the persecution, want to avoid the rejection, want to avoid the hatred from the world, so they embrace the world, the world's culture, and all that's therein. And I say, if that is the case, check up and see if you be in the faith. Check up and see if you're saved. By the way, that term, check up, see if you're being the faith, is a biblical term. We need to check up, see if you're saved. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today fake Christianity. Across the Christian church landscape today, you'll find those that simply reject the reality. So if we're talking about now, Pastor, those that say they're saved, I'm always amazed at the number of them say they're saved, but they deny the reality of hell. I'm amazed at the number of people that say they're saved and they believe in reincarnation.
My.
I'm amazed at the number of people that say they're saved and they accept abortion. I'm amazed at the number of people that say they're saved and will accept the sodomite lifestyle. I'm amazed at the number of people that say they're saved and yet they question and challenge the Ten Commandments. I'm amazed and saddened at the number of people that say they're saved and say that the Lord's Prayer has errors in it and we ought not to use it today. I'm amazed that the Pope has said that Jesus Christ is not God. He's not divine at all.
My.
His quote, not mine. So the question is the Pope saved?
Amen.
Is the Pope
Amen.
Saved?
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for the news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back right after the news.
Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.